Time now for Brain on Nature. And today, Sarah Allerley takes the big step of returning to work as a journalist at SBS. And remember that straight after her brain injury, she couldn't read or look at her computer. She's still using nature to keep her headaches in check, and it's working, even though no doctor prescribed nature for her.
The doctors are saying they want me to go back to work, gradually. But I'm not sure. I've lost my confidence. I can't imagine working again as a journalist at a TV network. How am I going to cope researching complex stories when I haven't even made it through a novel yet? Dr. Stuart Brown, my rehab specialist, says we won't know until we try. He means I won't actually recover properly until I go back to work. The neurons that fire together, wire together, he keeps saying.
You know, from a brain injury rehabilitation perspective, work is an excellent rehab program, really. That's really the focus of our rehabilitation, is to get people back to work, because that's going to hopefully boost their recovery that little bit further.
The first morning, I sit at my work computer and find my way back into email. My boss asks me to look into a potential show about anxiety being on the rise amongst kids. I need to check these claims, suss out the stats. How do I even do that again? I can literally feel the cogs of my brain turning as I figure it out. Oh yeah, that's right. I look up the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Actually, I can ring direct. I have a contact for them. I can feel my brain relearning how to do my job. Dr. Brown was right. I need to be here to get better. But it's slow. My headaches increase again. I'm forced to cut down my hours, two steps forward and one step back. I build up my hours over a few months and eventually return to full duties. I find ways to manage ongoing headaches. Part of this is flying under the radar. Many of my colleagues don't even know what happened because they're new here. The ones that do are discreet. They act normal, like nothing happened. I didn't just return from 8 months sick leave. When a bad headache hits at work, I slip out of the office and head to the local park to dose up on nature. I've worked here for 7 years, but before the accident, I'd only ever come here twice. I didn't even know the shortcut through the industrial estate. Now I'm here almost every day. I walk the park circuit and feel the fog clearing and my headache evaporating. It's almost like magic. When we all hit the afternoon slump, my colleagues head for coffee, but I return to my patch of green. Nature really seems to be my cure. So I continue to self-medicate with regular hikes. I take my kids camping on the weekends, I garden more, I swim in the ocean and rivers around Sydney. I basically change my whole lifestyle. I'm busy dosing myself up on nature while my neurologist tries out various medications for my headaches. First, super strong antihistamines that just make me drowsy. Then antidepressants that don't do much. Next, we try Botox. I'm reluctant. The idea of injecting Botox into my head doesn't really appeal. I'm still wearily asking Dr. Granite questions when I turn up for my first go.
Does the Botox possibly work in the way that it's allowing my brain to sort of almost like a reset button?
We don't know.
We don't know.
The needles don't go all that far into my head, but they feel horrible. But after going through that whole ordeal, the Botox doesn't even work. It actually seems to make my headaches worse. Since my bike crash, I've been building up to getting back on the bike. First I ride on footpaths and bike paths, then a short stretch on a quiet road. It's tempting to just give up cycling altogether. I worry that I'll get hit and bump my head again before I've even fully recovered from the last brain injury. But my psychologist stresses the importance of not letting cycling become a phobia that seeps into other areas of my life. She wants me to actually ride back along that route through the quiet intersection where the driver cut the corner. Not just once. It's important to repeat the activity over and over. One Sunday afternoon, I hop on my bike and start pedaling down the hill. It feels like I should be wearing a seatbelt. I feel so vulnerable. I did it. I actually rode from my house down Terrace Road, under the rail bridge, through the roundabout and into the dead end street and across the intersection where I was hit nearly 2 years ago. I did it. And I feel good. It just feels a big accomplishment, but also I can feel my heart beating quite fast. I'm just gonna stop and take a few deep breaths, but I feel good. A bit later, something happens that catches me by surprise.
It's like 10:30 at night, I bought myself a glass of wine, put on some Netflix, started watching this show called Wanderlust of Toni Collette. But suddenly it was spliced with shots of flashbacks of her being knocked off her bike and looking like she sustained a head injury. And it was just the reaction that I experienced when watching that was so full on. Trying to unwind with a glass of wine, watching some Netflix after a late night at work, that happening in the story has just completely thrown me.
I keep wondering if I'm better, if I've recovered. I've changed my lifestyle to prioritize nature. I keep researching why nature is continuing to help me. I learned to make audio stories, to make this podcast. But I still have to pace myself, to balance screen time with looking at trees. I wonder if this is just the new me. I want to know whether this is my new norm. Should I stop seeing doctors and just get on with it? Continue using nature to find a balance, but accept my recovery may have plateaued? I asked my brain injury rehab specialist, Dr. Stuart Brown, during what ended up being our final consult in St. Vincent's Hospital.
It is certainly possible that people reach a plateau at some particular point and as you say, is this your new norm? So I guess that's possible.
I tell him I find that idea confronting. I'm worried my career will stagnate. I feel like I can't move on to new positions or different organisations where I'm not comfortable slipping off to the park to get rid of my headache. But it seems like I just need to accept and focus on how far I've come since the accident. I put all this to him the last time I saw him as a patient.
When you've got these residual symptoms of the headaches, which have been really, really terrible for all those years, I think the solutions are non-medication such as relaxation and the like, but also looking at some of the more sophisticated treatments and hopefully just inching that little bit further forward with time.
Thank you. He can't really answer. I realise my questions aren't quite right for a Western medical doctor, yet. I've been taking advice from my neurologist for 3 years now. This guy has seen me at my most vulnerable. Now the power dynamic is shifting. I'm going back as a journalist instead of a patient. I want to ask him the questions I didn't feel I could before. I've never asked what he thought of my use of nature. So far we've skirted that issue. I feel like he'll be sceptical.
So we've certainly got studies showing that being in nature and exercise, both of those do help brain function in general. there aren't any studies I'm aware of, particularly in brain injury, but that's certainly a general point.
Well, I was wrong about Dr. Ron Granite. This is pleasantly surprising.
So certainly exposure to nature we know improves brain function. So it's probably because how we're wired. We're not used to living in a concrete jungle. So the best way to describe it, we're trying to run new software on million-year-old hardware. So we're meant to be exposed to trees and nature, and that's what our brain's expecting. And all the concrete jungle that we're exposed to with the stresses and the noises and the hubbub of activity is just not what we're built to withstand and be used to. So I think getting back to nature is probably how we're meant to be. And there's not a lot of data because it's all these things are hard to study specifically, but there is some data saying that it is better for us.
Do you have an idea of whether it's the sounds or the visual or the tactile or the...
I don't think we know. I would say, so as humans, we love to dissect and find the key single component. And the best analogy, and I'll come back to your exact question in a sec, the best analogy is people want to take a vitamin of a pill, which is the component of a fish or the component of a salad or the component of whatever nature's giving you, and take that only and forget about the rest. And the answer is they don't work. And we've got lots of studies to show they don't work. If you want to get fish oil, eat a fish. If you want to get the benefits of salad and vegetables, eat salad and vegetables. So if you want to get nature, I'd say get nature. Don't sort of get nature sounds on your alarm clock. Get into nature. And the answer is it's probably going to be very hard to dissect out which, if any, of those components specifically is the thing. I would say be in nature because that's what's intended.
So I don't want this to come across in the wrong way because I wasn't sure whether you're going to be on board with this idea or not. I thought you might be a bit skeptical because like yourself and the other doctors and specialists I saw were encouraging when I said that I was finding nature was useful. But no one sort of suggested it or prescribed it. And I'm just interested in whether you would consider suggesting it to patients.
I'd certainly consider it. The problem is, as a doctor, it's important for me to prescribe anything that have an evidence base. In other words, rather than a personal theory or a pet idea, I need to tell you something that is based in some degree of fact in scientific evidence where others have tried it, have documented it, have tried to remove a placebo effect out of it and shown it to be beneficial. So pet theories are great, but pet theories are often wrong. And even small studies that aren't placebo controlled are also often wrong. And we know that from lots of medications as well. So what I have to tell you as a patient has got to be limited by our limit of knowledge. And then it's a question of sort of risk benefit. So if you're saying, can I go out into nature? Can I do this? Can I do that? The answer is sure, absolutely. And if it helps you, fantastic. Is that something that we can say with any degree of confidence will get you better in general? The answer is we can't. So it's difficult to sort of propose things that are out there that have no scientific backing.
Research experiments need to be randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind, and then reviewed by peers. And of course, that costs lots of money.
It's important for us not to sort of go down our own separate paths and have pet theories on things, because I think that will only bring the profession into disrepute in general. And you say, oh, that doctor told me to go visit the trees, and this one said, no, the beach is the only place. And the answer is neither of us are right, necessarily.
Would you do that now?
I'd certainly mention it and raise it, sure. And I'd probably point people to your podcast too.
When I thank Dr. Granite the following week, he's already mentioned my experience to another patient.
There. And tomorrow, in the final episode of Brain on Nature, Sarah discovers more of the science behind why being in nature is so good for our brains. That's here on Life Matters.